助けてほしいかナナミ。
心を燃やせ、限界を超えろ。
Hello and welcome to More Than Headlines, Australia's best and quite possibly only weekly anime news podcast. I'm your extremely humble host, Brendan White, aka the Salt and Pepper Senpai. And joining me, as is the new and hopefully long-standing tradition after this episode, my trusted co-host and rival, the key lure to my gone, Courtney Barrett. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. This came together very quickly, but it also came together effortlessly, which I'm very happy about. So I'm excited to be doing some more anime-centric content with yourself because you're one of my favorite minds in the anime game. So here we are. We're going to be talking the latest and greatest news, reviews, rumors, and everything else in between in a weekly format, you know, focusing on maybe the five biggest headlines or heavy hitters that we think you need to know about. So it's going to be a fun time.
Let's read the news.
All right. So leading us off in the first of five headlines for the week, Sakamoto Day's anime project is listed and then unlisted. Sad face. Licensing news service License Global posted in its May issue that Sakamoto Day's will be getting an anime project on Netflix in 2024, while we're all collectively wetting our pants at the thought of getting an anime of what is arguably one of the best currently published manga. License Global updated its list and has subsequently removed the Sakamoto Days entry.
And so while we still don't have an official Sakamoto Days announcement, I think it's fair to say that the manga is popular enough that there is super high potential for an adaptation. Have you read the manga?
If you asked me this maybe 3 hours ago, I would have said no. But since then, I will say a big fat yes. I have dove into a few chapters now. And I am loving it. It is super fun. The concept of the alleged greatest hitman of all time, falling in love, having a child, putting on some weight, and running a convenience store is hitting all the right notes for me. And I'm kind of hoping we get it translated to screen because it is freaking great.
It's actually really interesting because I hadn't even heard of this manga until a few months back when I was doing a review article for it. And I read it and I was like, this is fantastic. Like the art style is good. The pacing is amazing. Like the contrast between his, what he wants as a peaceful life and then the action he's kind of forced into is really funny.
It is hilarious. Like I've only recently subscribed to Shonen Jump on the old iPad and started diving into manga in a big way. And I've sort of scrolled past that a few times in the recommendeds and I never really paid much attention until this news article. So I guess I'm thankful in a way for you to say, to drop this in as our first headline, but I'm also sad now because it's hooked me within the last couple of hours and I really want to see it translate to screen. But now we just got to hope and pray that, License Global pivots again and they relist and we get this. I don't think it's happening in 2024. There'd be an announcement by now, but soon, I hope.
Yes, fingers crossed for Sakamoto on the big screen.
Hell yeah. He's the best. I love him already.
We also got a Zorro prequel trailer release. I think it was last week. Earlier this year, they announced that Zorro is getting his own light novel spinoff, which is super exciting. And they actually, interestingly, dropped a teaser trailer for the light novel. It's titled Zorro Joshua Sasakaze and features still images of Zorro and his master discussing the young swordsman's future. So I found it interesting that they did it for a light novel.
I think they're just riding the hype of One Piece. Like it is a monster. And yeah, this novel is going to be written by Jun Isaka, who's previously written Heroines, another One Piece spin-off novel about the women of the series, the light novel adaptation of One Piece Odyssey, as well as several Naruto light novels as well.
I was never a big light novel reader, but I think I might actually get into them because of this announcement, because I love Zoro.
Like controversial, but I'm not a huge One Piece fan. I keep trying, but the Skypiea arc just sunk it for me in a big way. And I have no real motivation to get back on this train. Even though I do love Zoro, he was one of my favorite characters I was introduced to in the 190 or so episodes I've watched. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think this is going to be a day one cop for me. I might just live through you when you're reading through this because, yeah, I am so far out on the One Piece hype train. It's not funny. I'll go again, but right now it's done me dirty. But I'm happy for all the millions and millions of One Piece fans out there to see what Zoro has been up to here as a young swordsman.
I will say, I think I also haven't seen all of One Piece. I haven't read the manga, but I have engaged with other One Piece media. Like, I played One Piece Odyssey. I reviewed that game and I loved it. It was fantastic. That and I watched the live action Netflix series, which I adored. I thought it was fantastic. Once you get over the first like 5 minutes of Uncanny Valley like cosplay, once you get over that, I think they did a really, really good job. So, and they've also announced the anime remake,
which has me very excited. I've got to say, yes. Like maybe that sort of second coming of One Piece in anime form will do it for me this time around. But I also really enjoyed the One Piece live action. I think it's one of the better live action anime translations we've seen from a Western audience. And yeah, it bodes well for the future because yeah, it's reviewed great. It's making Netflix a ton of money and we've got, you know, at least a second season on the way and probably many more because Netflix like that money and everyone likes that One Piece. So we're jumping into the third headline here. The fan-made Berserk anime has a trailer. Legendary manga Berserk has had its rough time going with anime adaptations. From unfinished series to CGI flops, it's impossible to recommend an animated version of the late Kentaro Miura's masterpiece. But a fan-made project is aiming to change the fate of the Berserk anime series, and it has me hyped.
The trailer was uploaded by Studio Eclipse, who first dropped a teaser in October last year, with both videos going viral, combining for over 4.1 million views. The beautifully animated trailer has given Berserk fans hope that the unfinished manga might get the adaptation it deserves.
And I think this trailer looks great. Like, it only runs for about 3 minutes, but they throw an absolute bucket load at us here. So this anime allegedly is going to be covering the Black Swordsman arc, which is the first arc in the Berserk storytelling. We see the Snake Lord, Zondark, the Count, Casca, Griffith, and Puck the Elf. So there's a lot of homage and nostalgia hits straight off the bat there. You're seeing the who's who of the Berserk universe. Looks really faithful to the manga, super violent, which makes me very happy because it's weird for me. On one end, I love cutesy romance that makes my heart explode and tears flow from my eyes, but I also like to see blood and body parts explode and, you know, appendages flow across the screen. So I'm getting definitely the latter here, but it does make me worried because in this trailer, it says that episode one is coming out in 2025. So I'm curious, due to this being a fan-made effort, will this be a very slow burn as far as releasing content goes? And will this, you know, multi-episode thing go for decades potentially? I hope not.
I really wonder how a fan-made anime will fit into the current kind of environment of anime. Like, you know, we're getting such fast-paced, like, production being pushed, like, people even being overworked. So I wonder how, I guess, they'll handle it. You know, they're their own studio, so maybe it'll be okay, but I am a little worried.
Yeah, I'm hopeful because, yeah, we don't want to see people getting overworked and crunched within studios, and I guess that jumps nicely, or not so nicely, into the next news headline.
Yes, MAPPA is going to start producing live films. They're known for their fantastic work on big hit animes like Chainsaw Man, Jujutsu Kaisen, and Attack on Titan, and they're turning their sights to something a little more three-dimensional. The studio has joined a group of production partners with plans to make a live-action film with intentions to release it to a global market.
And Manabu Otsuka, MAPPA's CEO, has previously stated that he feels the studio needs to branch out from animation if it wants to see more success. The company is also involved in event management and copyright in an attempt to expand.
I think it's good to see animation studios move into adjacent industries, and I'm not sure if they're going to hire more people for this project, but I wonder if the expertise and level of influence MAPPA has will bring enough to the table to produce something great.
I think the production value is going to be fantastic, but yeah, how they get there, the journey that these staff go on is going to be something that's probably going to be rightfully so under the microscope right from the get-go. So I hope this is combined with a hiring process where they're bringing in adequate staff members so they can create the content while also living a nice, balanced, healthy life. But live action does scare me a little bit. Like, we sort of talked about how well done the One Piece live action was done just earlier, but anime doesn't always translate to screen the same way it does from manga panel to animated panel. So I'm optimistic and I'm excited to, you know, think about seeing Devil's Curses, Soshin's, et cetera, from the various IP that MAPPA have done very, very well, might I add, on the big screen. So I'm equal parts excited, but also terrified because I don't want washed up, watered down nonsense on the live action screen just for them to make a dollar. I want it to add and build on the greatness of the manga or the anime. I don't want it to be like the Wish version of what we saw on screen or on panel. So I got my fingers crossed for this one, Cordy.
I'm also kind of curious to see if they'll do adaptations of anime or if they're going to go in a completely different direction.
Yeah, maybe new IP.
Yeah, like, you know, do a Godzilla film or something.
I wouldn't be sad about it. Like, that MonsterVerse is getting out of control, but like, they know how to create good content. Whether that is the same in live action is remains to be seen, but I'm excited to see what they do. Apart from what they did with Attack on Titan, I've loved just about everything else they've animated in the last decade plus.
Oh my God. Imagine if they did a live action series, but it's like, what's the Korean live action series that everyone loved? The drama?
Oh,
Squid Game?
Yeah,
imagine
yeah.
Imagine if MAPPA did their own version of Squid Game, but it's like characters from Jujutsu Kaisen.
I'd be down for that. Or like, because who's the studio that did Damashi Game? Like, maybe they're just going to translate that. But we're spoiled. And it's funny because I guess we've seen what could happen with anime to live action translation. Like, you look at something like Vinland Saga, it's like, well, if you've watched Vikings, you've watched Vinland Saga, so it could work. I'm excited, but I will be hesitant at the same time, so we'll see.
Cautious.
Yeah, I think cautious is a smart way to be with that one. But the next piece of news, Ghost in the Shell is getting a new TV anime. Yesterday, Bandai Namco Filmworks announced a new anime series for the popular sci-fi action manga Ghost in the Shell. The anime is to be produced by Science Saru, known for producing other popular series like Devilman Crybaby and Keep Your Hands Off Aizouken.
The announcement trailer features animated and colored panels from the manga, which is written by Masamune Shiro. It also gives a release date of 2026, which is a bit far away. If you're not acquainted, though, the series is set in 2029 in a future where people use cybernetic enhancements, and as a result, criminals also have access to this technology and are terrorizing everyone. To combat the cyber terrorism, the government creates a new police force known as Section 9, and that's their whole job. They just fight all the cyber terrorism. What do you think?
I'm excited. I love that sort of cyberpunk sci-fi world, like just inject all of that into my veins. Like, I'm such a fan of, you know, Psychopass, what they did recently with Cyberpunk Edgerunners. I've watched all the Ghost in the Shell content. Funnily enough, I've never read any of the manga, but I've watched the films, watched the TV spin-offs as well. And I love Major as a character. I love this world. I love the whole cyberpunk sort of body modification type of vibe that runs rampant through Ghost in the Shell. So I think it's going to be stunning. It's going to be a world that I'm just going to eat up because it's going to have, you know, neon fever dream, super crunchy soundtrack. Like, it's going to have all the things that tickle my pickle. And I'm optimistic because Science Saru, they make great stuff. Devilman Crybaby, even though the animation style was a little left of center, I still really enjoyed it. And their use of color really made some of those scenes stand out. So I think weaving some of that eccentricness in to what they do with Ghost in the Shell could work too. But yeah, I'm down for sci-fi body mods madness. But also the fact that this is set, what, 5 years ahead of where we are right now? Like, how come I don't have robot arms right now, or like eyes that can see kilometers down the line, or enhanced smell-o-vision or something? Like, where's my body mods, Courtney?
We should be able to just install new body parts, I feel. Like, robotic body parts that don't fail. Because I have never seen or read Ghost in the Shell. Terrible, I know. But I will now that a new anime is coming out. Because I love cyberpunk edgerunners. I am not a binge watcher, and I binged that in a day and I was sobbing. Oh my God. That and Akudama Drive as well, which has like the same kind of like cyberpunk, like neon lights, future Tokyo vibe. I loved. So I'm very excited, and I feel like this is my time finally, Brendan.
It's your time to dive in. Like, just start with this first standalone Complex movie. Like, it's not going to be a long time commitment for you. You can have it done with under 2 hours, and you can sort of see what this world's about and see what some of these characters are up to and their strengths and weaknesses and everything else in between. But yeah, I'm hyped because, yeah, we don't need to talk too much about the live action adaptation with Scarlett Johansson. There's no confirmation if she's going to be attached to this in any way. She might weave her way in somehow because she's everywhere. But like, I'm optimistic because, yeah, Bandai and Science Saru, they make some good quality content.
I'm excited, and I really hope so. In the trailer as well, because it just takes animated panels,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what kind of art style they go with, because I love a weird art style, like Devilman Crybaby. Yes, there's just been a bunch of anime lately with strange art styles, and I'm living for it.
Okay, well, hopefully you can live for this one as well, but you're going to have to be waiting a little while because, yeah, 2026, as you mentioned. So we're 2 years out from seeing this land on the screen, but you know what? 2 years is going to go by quick, and then 2 years after that is when this is set, which is just mind-boggling to me, but that's the world we live in these days. So let's see what Zuckerberg comes up with between now and 2029 and what kind of crazy additions we can strap to ourselves in the near future.
But while we're waiting, we can watch some other great shows.
We most certainly can. So we thought we'd also just let all the viewers and listeners know where the heavy hitters are. You know, the big dogs currently sort of streaming throughout the seasons at the moment. So I've just cherry-picked four of the biggest titles, and I've put them down in alphabetical order, and I'll tackle the first one. And so Demon Slayer, we've got the Hashira arc going on as we speak at the moment over on Crunchyroll. Season 4, Episode 3 will be airing on May the 27th, so Monday, May the 27th. So we are recording right now on Sunday the 26th. So if you're listening to it on the same day of recording, thank you very much first and foremost. But otherwise, swing on by Crunchyroll tomorrow and you can check out the third episode of Season 4 of Demon Slayer.
Also on Crunchyroll is one of my favorites for the season, Kaiju number 8, Season 1, Episode 7, aired today. So if you haven't watched that, go now. Run, don't walk.
Spoilers, it's so good.
Oh my God, I haven't seen it yet. I should be running.
I watched it last night, like, because they're doing the live watch along at midnight on the Crunchyroll streaming service. And if you miss the midnight drop, just wait till 12:30 and then you can watch it at your own pace after that. But I purposely stayed up last night to catch episode 7 to see what's going on. And yeah, Kafka Harbino, he is like, as a fellow 30-something male that has had life passing by occasionally, I can relate to this man a lot. And he, you know, he just builds faith in all us 30-something males out there to know that, like, all hope is not lost. We can do more. Our life is still ahead of us. So thank you for that, Kafka. And yeah, season 1, episode 7, adored it.
I'm so excited.
All right. My Hero Academia, one of the biggest anime on planet Earth, done by Studio Bones, also available on Crunchyroll. And latter seasons are also available on Netflix. But yeah, season 7, episode 142.
How did we get here?
It was a journey. I'm all for it. Love me some Deku. Love what they've been doing the last couple of seasons, just with that maturity jump, the tonal shift, and just constantly elevating the stakes. But yeah, I haven't watched this episode yet. I'm going to watch it after you record today. But it is also available right now because it dropped this morning on that Sunday, May 26th drop rotation, same with Kaiju No. 8.
I cannot believe we're up to season 7 already. Like, it feels like it started yesterday, you know? Like,
it makes me happy too, because the production value, like, even though they are dropping this every year now, like, it is on a tight production schedule to get this thing out released consistently. But the production value is still at a high standard. The voice acting, whether it be subbed or dubbed, still at a very high standard. And the story itself is, yeah, one of my favorites in anime at the moment. Like, I'm all for it. And yeah, I can't wait to see what happens in this season and future seasons.
Yeah, it had a bit of a dip, I feel, a few seasons ago, but it's picked back up and I'm really loving it.
Yeah, shout out to Star and Stripe. What a absolute monster of a woman. She's fantastic. She can break me in half any day.
You're not the only one. we also have a new episode of One Piece. There's always a new episode of One Piece. There's never not a new episode of One Piece. also on Crunchyroll, season 14, episode 1106, comes out today. I will say, when they reached chapter 1000, I was like, surely this is where it ends. Like, surely 1000 is like the limit. No.
Yeah, they said, joke's on you, Courtney. This is eternal.
Truly, I remember as a kid watching Cheese TV in the morning, and One Piece would always come on. I think it was after Yu-Gi-Oh! So it was just as I was leaving for school, and I never got to watch it. So I was a Yu-Gi-Oh! Girly, but here we are, like 20 years later.
And you can still watch it now in real time as it just dropped. Episode 1106. Like, saying that number aloud just almost makes me instantly sweat from the stress, because I'm like, in my head, I'm a completionist with everything. And I know one day I will go back and push myself through all of these episodes of One Piece. But knowing that I jumped out at 192 and that I've got nearly 1,000 between that to catch up, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be like, I'm, you know, graying right now. I'm going to be pure white by the end of this just from the stress of One Piece. But yeah, One Piece fans are always eating well.
Watching One Piece in the nursing home.
That's it, with my robotic arms. Life's going to be good. But yeah, that brings us to the end of the new segment of More Than Headlines. But we're going to end, as will be the new tradition, we're going to end with a random fact of the week or a random fact of the episode. And the first one I thought I'd bring to the table, and Courtney will bring one to episode two, and then we'll sort of rotate this thing week on week and we'll sort of see what's going on out there in the anime game. But the one I want to bring to you all today, the 1988 anime film Akira is a huge technical accomplishment for the Japanese anime industry. For one, it has 2,212 shots and 160,000 single pictures, which is twice or thrice more than the average anime. Another thing is that most of the scenes of the film were set for nighttime. Most animes avoid that and prefer day scenes because night scenes require high usages of color. Akira went against the conventional ways and used 327 colors in the movie. Out of them, 50 were exclusively created for the film. So they created 50 colors for this movie. Imagine just creating colors. Like, that is some god-tier stuff right there.
How do you create a color?
What? I guess like blending certain colors together, and then it's a tiny enough shade difference that you can name it whatever you like. Like, so yeah, the film Akira is responsible for creating 50 unique colors out there in the world today.
That's sick. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And anyone that hasn't watched it, you need to watch Akira. It's one of the goats.
You can get it on Blu-ray as well. I've just bought the Blu-ray.
Yes.
I need to watch the Blu-ray. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and I'm also not at all sad that the alleged live-action Akira film that was going to star like Mark Wahlberg for a minute, I think that is dead in the water. So thank the anime gods for that, because I do not need that in my life.
No, I think we've seen enough of Marky Mark.
Yeah, and the Funky Bunch. They can all just stay back there doing whatever they're doing. But yeah, listeners, viewers, that brings us to the official end of the first episode of the More Than Headlines podcast. Thank you all so very much for stopping on by. Courtney, anything you wanted to shout out or mention before we close this down for another week?
I just want to thank you, actually, for running with my crazy idea. And hopefully we can see you all again for weeks to come with the anime news, and we'll pick it for you so you don't have to worry about it. Don't worry, guys. We got you.
That's it. Yeah, we just take the stress out of it, because it can be overwhelming jumping on these streaming sites or trying to stay up to date with things. We can just sort of be your anime guides. We can point you in the right directions, keep you updated on all the good, bad, and the otherwise, and yeah, just make life easier for all involved. I just want to say thank you for trusting me with your crazy idea, because, yeah, like I said at the start, this came together very quickly. We literally brainstormed it like last weekend, and now here we are, releasing an episode. So we aren't doing anything by halves. We don't go half-assed here. It's full-ass always, every day. And yeah, it's a good time. It was a fun one here, but be sure to follow us on them socials. You can follow Courtney at KOUTONII and myself at More Than Senpai. That's Courtney is the right way to pronounce that bad boy. But be sure to rate, view, subscribe this podcast and all the other podcasts you listen to on the regular. Those ratings and views take no time, cost no money, and mean the world to podcasters like ourselves. So please pay that good karma forward. Also, head on over to morethanhentai.life to get your hands on the tastiest merchandise in the anime land. And while you're there, you can join the Segoy Squad to get exclusive access to perks and content you will not find anywhere else on planet Earth. But listeners, viewers, anime friendos, whether your anime be subbed, dubbed, or still yet to come, enjoy yourself and much love to all the waifus and husbandos out there. Goodbye.